Allah Almighty created various nations and races in diverse forms and colors, settling them in different regions across the world. Ramadan al-Kareem is the month of Allah Almighty. As soon as it arrives with its splendor, people's hearts incline towards worship, recitation of the noble Quran, prayer and fasting. This spiritual inclination is not a new phenomenon. Rather, this has been the case for centuries. Even today, its manifestations are commonly observed throughout the world. This booklet contains not only a beautiful account of the practices of Muslims regarding worship in previous centuries, but also mentions the contemporary Ramadan practices of approximately 11 countries. Alhamdulillah al-Kareem. In preparing this booklet, efforts were made to gather information from the devotees of the Prophet in approximately 30 countries. By the grace of Allah Almighty, this series describing the lives and practices of the devotees of the Prophet in additional countries during Ramadan al-Kareem will continue in the coming years. May Allah Almighty grant us the blessing of reaching His beloved month, Ramadan al-Kareem, in goodness, and then grant us the ability to spend it in accordance with His pleasure, with an abundance of worship, recitation, prayer, taraweeh, and voluntary prayers. For the sake of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, may this noble month of Allah Almighty depart from us whilst being pleased with us. Ameen. Bi jahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala khatamin nabiyyin. Amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Delightful ways of celebrating Ramadan al-Kareem. Supplication of Attar. O Allah, whoever reads or listens to the booklet Delightful Ways of Celebrating Ramadan al-Kareem, bless them with love for the month of Ramadan, grant them the ability to perform many good deeds, admit them, along with their parents, into Jannatul Firdaus without reckoning, and grant them the neighborhood of your beloved and final Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Ameen. Bi jahi khatamin nabiyyin, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Forgiveness granted through reciting salat upon the beloved Prophet. An account. Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Saleh al-Sufi rahmatullahi alayhi relates, a hadith master was seen in a dream and asked, "How did Allah deal with you?" He replied, "He forgave me." When asked for the reason he was forgiven, he said, "Because I would write salat upon the noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam in my books." Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. The tradition of citing the Ramadan crescent in Egypt. It is said that in the 8th century AH, in the city of Ibyar, Egypt, a gathering was held on the 29th of Shaban al-Sharif, known as Yom al-Rukbah, i.e. the Day of Observation. The devotees of the Prophet there referred to this day as waiting for the sighting of the Ramadan crescent. Their custom was that after the Asr prayer on the 29th of Sha'ban, the scholars and dignitaries of the city will gather at the residence of the Qadi, i.e. the judge. An individual wearing an imamah would stand at the door to announce arrivals. Whenever an honorable person arrived, he would welcome the guest, and the Qadi and those seated in the assembly would stand in respect. Once everyone gathered, the Qadi and all the attendees would mount their rides and proceed to an elevated location outside the city, where arrangements were made for sighting the Ramadan moon. This location would be adorned with carpets and rugs. Following the Maghrib prayer, everyone would return to the city. Upon their return, the arrival of Ramadan al-Mubarak was welcomed with such grandeur that candles, torches, and lanterns were carried before them, and shopkeepers would illuminate their shops with candles. May Allah have mercy upon them and grant us forgiveness without reckoning for their sake. Ameen. Bijahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. The Ramadan Crescent and the Practice of Amir Ahlus Sunnah. Alhamdulillahi ala ihsanihi. For many years, the devotee of Ramadan, Amir Ahlus Sunnah, Damat Barakat Mul Aliyah, has arranged the sighting of the Ramadan Crescent alongside the devotees of the Prophet on the 29th of Sha'ban. He appears immensely joyful upon the arrival of this blessed month. For several years, scenes from this spiritually uplifting gathering have been broadcast live on Madani Channel and on the Facebook page of Amir Ahlus Sunnah. As soon as the Ramadan Crescent is sighted, tears of joy flow from his eyes. He recites or leads others in reciting the supplication mentioned in the hadith for sighting the new moon, supplicating with tears and congratulating the devotees of the Prophet on the arrival of Ramadan. When the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam sighted the crescent, he would recite this supplication: Allahumma ahillahu alayna bil amni wal iman was salamati wal islam rabbi wa rabbuka Allah. O Allah, let this moon appear over us with security, faith, safety and Islam. My Lord and your Lord is Allah. The moon of the first, second and third nights of the lunar, i.e. the Islamic month, is called Hilal. Thereafter, it is called Qamar. This supplication may be recited until the third night. The ruling on sighting the crescent of Ramadan al-Kareem. It is important to remember that sighting the moon for five specific months is wajib al-kifaya, a communal obligation. Number 1, Sha'ban. Number 2, Ramadan. Number 3, Shawwal. Number 4, Dhul-Qada. Number 5, Dhul-Hijjah. Sha'ban is included so that if clouds or haze obstruct the sighting of the Ramadan crescent, 30 days of Sha'ban can be completed to begin a Ramadan accurately. Likewise, the moon is sighted for Ramadan to commence fasting, for Shawwal to conclude it, for Dhul-Qada to ascertain the beginning of Dhul-Hijjah, and for Dhul-Hijjah to determine Eid al-Adha. Wajib al-Kifaya means that if a few people in a city sight the crescent for these months, the obligation is fulfilled on behalf of everyone. However, if no one attempts to sight it, everyone is sinful for neglecting the wajib. Therefore, one should make an effort to sight the crescent of these months. Insha'Allah, one will receive the reward of fulfilling a communal obligation. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. Those who spend the entire month in good deeds. Qus is a magnificent city in Egypt, home to a large number of masajid and Islamic seminaries, i.e. madaris. The famous traveller Ibn Battuta rahmatullahi alayhi writes in his travel log that outside the city lies the Khanqa, i.e. the Sufi lodge of Sheikh Shihab al-Din bin Abdul Ghaffar rahmatullahi alayh, which serves as a hub for Sufis. Every year during the month of Ramadan, pious individuals gather in this city, having freed themselves from worldly affairs, to remain occupied in worship for the entire month. Dawat-e-Islami and Itikaf for the entire month. Dear Islamic brothers, if possible, one should perform Itikaf for the entire month of Ramadan at least once in their lifetime. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam once observed itikaf for the entire month of Ramadan. Sayyiduna Anas bin Malik radiyallahu anhu states, as soon as the crescent of Ramadan was sighted, some of the companions radiyallahu anhum would perform a ritual bath ay ghusl and perform itikaf. May countless mercies be upon the true lover of Ramadan, Amir Ahlus Sunnah, Damat Barakat Mul Aliyah. A few years ago, he expressed his intention and encouraged others to perform itikaf for the entire month. Consequently, hundreds of people gathered at the Global Madani Center of Dawat-e-Islami, Fizan-e-Madina, for this purpose. Since that year, and continuing through 2026, the full month itikaf has been observed annually. A formal department of Dawat-e-Islami has been established to facilitate this, ensuring that this month of worship is spent in the masjid, the pure house of Allah Almighty, to seek His pleasure. Linguistically, itikaf means to remain firm in one place. In a religious context, it signifies that the mu'takif, i.e. the one performing itikaf, dedicates themselves to the worship of Allah Almighty in His majestic court, with the sole focus of attaining His pleasure. Alhamdulillah, under the banner of Dawat-e-Islami, the global religious movement of the devotees of the Prophet, itikaf for the entire month takes place at approximately 29 locations in Pakistan and in various other countries around the world. In this educational and spiritual environment, participants are taught the correct method of reciting the Holy Quran, prophetic sunan, etiquettes, various supplications, and essential knowledge, i.e. farz ulum, regarding prayer, ablution, i.e. wudu, a ritual bathing, i.e. ghusl, and fasting. To encourage participation, we present the reflections of a few participants who observed itikaf in the company of Amir Ahlus Sunnah at the Global Madani Center, Fizan-e-Madina, Karachi. Listen to them and make a firm intention to perform itikaf for the entire month. One participant remarked, thousands of Islamic brothers, setting aside distinctions of race, ethnicity and language, are spending their time in itikaf like brothers. Dawat-e-Islami is effectively demonstrating the truth and universality of Islam. Another participant said, before coming to Fizan-e-Madina, I lacked basic manners in speech, fighting, quarrelling and vagrancy were my habits. Alhamdulillah, I have abandoned all of these. This is the first itikaf of my life, and for the first time, I have completed all the fasts of Ramadan. From now on, I will observe all the fasts every year. Some comment that they realized for the first time that Ramadan can be spent in such a productive manner, whilst others say that many Ramadans had come and gone. But only here did they learn the true significance of this month. It is a request to all devotees of the Prophet to attain the blessing of a full month itikaf in the religious environment of Dawat-e-Islami at least once. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, the iftar of the Syrian devotees of Ramadan. Regarding Damascus, the capital of Syria, it is written that its people have a beautiful tradition during Ramadan that no one breaks their fast alone. The wealthy invite their companions and ensure the poor join them for iftar. Merchants do the same, whilst the poor and villagers gather every night at each other's homes or in a masjid, and whatever is contributed is shared amongst everyone for iftar. A generous elder, Sayyiduna Hammad rahmatullahi alayh, would invite 50 people every night during Ramadan to his dining mat to break their fast with him. On the day of Eid, he would gift each person new clothes and 100 dirhams. May Allah Almighty have mercy upon him and forgive us without reckoning for his sake. Ameen. Bi jahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. O devotees of Ramadan, alongside fasting, one should also increase in charity, i.e. sadaqah, for the reward of good deeds is multiplied manyfold during this blessed month. What a great blessing it is to provide financial assistance to the poor who are fasting, the needy, and relatives who do not disclose their financial struggles, thereby facilitating their Taraweeh prayers and other acts of worship. Many devotees of Ramadan set up iftar stalls at various locations. However, how can the poor and modest fasting women within their homes benefit from these blessings? Likewise, children who are not yet required to fast also miss out on these gatherings and food. Therefore, if our tables are adorned with colourful drinks, exquisite dishes, various types of fruits and other bounties, we should express our gratitude to Allah Almighty. As an act of thankfulness, we should share these meals with our neighbours, relatives and those teaching and learning sacred knowledge in masajid and madaris. How to shake hands with the leader of the angels. The beloved and final prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, whoever provides lawful food or water to a fasting person to break their fast, the angels seek forgiveness for him during the month of Ramadan, and Jibreel alayhi salam seeks forgiveness for him on Laylatul Qadr, i.e. the night of power. Another hadith states, whoever gives a fasting person water to drink, Allah will allow them to drink from my pool, i.e. the holes, such that they shall not feel thirst until they enter paradise. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam also said, whoever provides iftar to a fasting person from lawful earnings, the angels send blessings upon him. I pray for mercy during all the nights of Ramadan, and Jibreel alayhi salam shakes hands with him on Laylatul Qadr. And the one with whom Jibreel alayhi salam shakes hands, his eyes become tearful and his heart is softened. The first in Islam to provide iftar to neighbors. Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Abbas radiyallahu anhuma was the first person in Islam to provide food for iftar to his neighbors solely for the sake of Allah. He was also the first to lay out a dining mat on the roadside for this purpose. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. African bandits and respect for Ramadan. In the desert regions of North Africa lies a historic territory known as Bilad al-Hakkar, where Berber tribes resided in the 8th century AH. These people were harsh by nature due to their desert lifestyle, but were occasionally hospitable. They took control of caravan routes and charged taxes for safe passage. However, out of reverence for Ramadan, they neither harmed caravans nor created any obstruction. In fact, if a thief happened to steal goods along the way, they would even allow him to go free. Subhanallah, how wonderful are the blessings of Ramadan. Whilst one should always abstain from disobeying Allah, if a sinful person refrains from sin due to the sanctity of a blessed time or place, this act of reverence can sometimes become a means of protection from the disobedience of Allah Almighty. One good deed broke the habit of sin. An account. The 12th spiritual guide of the Qadiriyya Radhaviyya Attariya spiritual order, Sayyiduna Shaykh Abu Bakr al-Shibli rahmatullahi alayhi, relates, I was travelling to Syria with a caravan when a band of thieves looted us and piled all the goods before their leader. Amongst the items was a pouch containing sugar and almonds. All the thieves began eating from it, but their leader did not partake. I asked, everyone is eating, why are you not? He replied, I am fasting. I said in astonishment, you commit theft and yet you fast. The leader replied, one must leave at least some path open for reconciliation with Allah. After some time, I saw the same leader of the bandits in the state of Ihram, performing tawaf of the Kaaba. The light of worship emanated from his face and spiritual striving had weakened him. I asked him in amazement, are you not that same person? He replied, yes, I am the same man. Listen, it was that fast which reconciled me with Allah Almighty. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. Ramadan sales. O devotees of Ramadan, with the arrival of Ramadan al-Kareem, daily routines in Islamic countries undergo noticeable changes. Office and business hours are adjusted and employees' duty timings are reduced so that they may fast with ease and engage in worship during the night. According to available information, in many countries around the world, including those with non-Muslim majorities, shops, markets and shopping malls introduce Ramadan sales upon the arrival of this blessed month. Substantial discounts are offered, particularly on items related to suhoor and iftar. Whether food items or other commodities, devotees of Ramadan take advantage of buy one, get one free offers on certain items, thereby benefiting from the bounties of Ramadan. In contrast, these are some countries where despite the presence of a large Muslim population, prices during Ramadan do not decrease. Rather, they often rise even above their usual levels. Items specifically associated with suhoor and iftar skyrocket, making it difficult for the poor and even the middle class to purchase fruit. Furthermore, items that remain unsold throughout the year are sold during this sacred month due to the abundance of consumers and demand for food. How fortunate would it be if we understood that the month of Ramadan is not a time for accumulating wealth, but a month for accumulating good deeds. Listen to the following pieces of advice from Amir Ahlus Sunnah Damat Barakatumul Aliyah regarding the blessed month of Ramadan. Three sayings of Amir Ahlus Sunnah. Number one, during Ramadan, instead of earning money, one should focus on earning good deeds. Number two, earn good deeds in Ramadan al-Mubarak by selling goods to Muslims at lower prices. For Ramadan is a month for earning rewards, not wealth. Number three, Ramadan is a season for those who perform virtuous deeds and those who seek entry into paradise. Madani request. If only the government regulatory authorities responsible for food pricing, both generally throughout the year and especially during this month, would implement these principles within the framework of the Sharia in such a way that the poor benefit. By benefiting them, you too will benefit, insha'Allah. Furthermore, the prayers from their hearts can avert forthcoming calamities and afflictions and may become a means of entering paradise. The Righteous King. It is related that Sultan Abu Ishaq was considered amongst the greatest rulers of the surrounding regions. This benevolent king had a habit of visiting the central masjid every day for the Asr prayer. After the prayer, he would sit leaning against the Qibla wall whilst the Quran reciters sat before him on elevated wooden chairs and recited Surah Al-Fath and Surah Al-Mulk. In that tranquil atmosphere, the sound of their recitation softened hearts, caused hairs to stand on end, and brought tears to the eyes. Then the king would return home. During Ramadan, he slept on a simple bed every night. For iftar, he would first eat thareed, served in a small bowl. It consisted of bread soaked in stew, sprinkled with lentils, clarified butter and sugar. This was presented for the sake of blessings, as the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam declared thareed superior to other foods. Following this, other dishes were served. This practice was maintained throughout every night of Ramadan. What is thareed? Mufti Sharif al-Haq al-Amjadi rahmatullahi alayhi writes, thareed is prepared by breaking bread into meat broth. This dish is exceptionally delicious, easy to eat and digest quickly. Due to these qualities, it was the most favoured of all foods amongst the Arabs. Allama Ali al-Qari rahmatullahi alayhi writes, the first person to prepare thareed was Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. In Al-Mustatraf, it is mentioned that the first person to crumble bread and soak it in broth, i.e. make thareed, was Sayyiduna Hashim rahmatullahi alayhi, the great-grandfather of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. A hadith states, blessings are found in three things, the congregation of Muslims, thareed and suhoor. The Prophet's favorite food. The most reliable books of hadith are known as the Siha Sitta, i.e. the six authentic books. Amongst them, Sunan Abi Dawood records that Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Abbas radiyallahu anhuma said, the most beloved food of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was thareed made with bread and thareed made with haze. Explanation of the hadith. Thareed made with bread refers to pieces of bread soaked and softened in broth until the meat is infused with it. This is a very delicious and easily digestible dish. Linguistically, haze means a mixed substance. In technical usage, it refers to a dish made from a mixture of dates and butter. This was greatly liked by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and it is a delicious meal. Dried and fresh dates are inherently strengthening, and when combined with butter, their dryness is reduced, the flavor is enhanced, and any potential, i.e. digestive, harm is removed. Encouragement from Amir Ahlus Sunnah and the method of preparing Thareed. Amir Ahlus Sunnah, Damat Barakatul Aliya, states, generally after eating leftover gravy in bowls, food remnants stuck to the cooking pot, and leftover pieces of bread are discarded. However, throwing away edible food is israf, i.e. wastefulness, which is strictly forbidden and leads to hell. Therefore, instead of discarding leftover food, thareed should be made from it. The method of preparing thareed is to store whatever food remains, such as gravy, lentils or rice, in a refrigerator. When a sufficient quantity of leftover food accumulates, place all of it together in a cooking pot. Add pieces of bread on top and soak them in the mixture. If the gravy is insufficient, add a small amount of water and then add salt, chili and cumin according to taste. Cover the pot with a lid, place a weight on top and cook it thoroughly. Once it is fully cooked, serve it in a large dish and sprinkle pieces of dates on top. In this manner, insha'Allah, food will be saved from being wasted and a nutritious meal will be prepared. If one chooses not to make thareed from leftover bread and food, they should feed these items to chickens, ants or goats to avoid wasting food. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. O devotees of the Prophet, thus far we have described some historical practices in various countries during Ramadan al-Kareem. Now, insha'Allah, we shall mention the current daily routines and spiritual conditions of worship observed in several countries upon the arrival of Ramadan. We begin with the pure city of Medina, for Medina is our first and final destination. Number 1. Ramadan in Medina. Although the atmosphere in Medina is filled with mercy, blessings and spirituality throughout the year, the greatest influx of people to the two holy sanctuaries after the Hajj season occurs during Ramadan. The Hadith encourages performing Umrah during Ramadan. Consequently, Muslims from every corner of the world travel to spend the month in Mecca and Medina. During Ramadan, the outward splendor of the city is at its peak, with hundreds of thousands attending the two sacred masjids. Upon the arrival of Ramadan al-Kareem, life in Saudi Arabia undergoes a remarkable transformation. For those working 8-hour shifts in offices and institutions, duty hours are reduced by 2 hours. The air of Medina is constantly filled with a fragrance, bringing joy and spiritual delight to the devotees of the Prophet. Notably, during this holy month, the surroundings of Masjid al-Nabawi are sprayed with additional fragrance. Throughout the country, the sentences of prisoners are reduced and some are granted release. Shops remain closed or open only for limited hours during the day, but stay open late into the night. Markets are decorated to welcome the month. A month or so before Ramadan begins, prices for many items are reduced by 50 to 60%. Acts of giving charity also increase significantly. Many Muslims invite others who are fasting to their homes, encouraging them to break their fast together. In some places, families gather in homes for worship, at the time of iftar, tents marked iftar al-saim, i.e. iftar for the fasting person, are pitched outside masajid, where people are seated in rows to break their fast before proceeding into the masjid for prayer. The devotee of the Prophet, Imam Ahlus Sunnah, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Rahmatullahi Alayhi, writes, Shore Mahe No Sunkar Tujh Tak Me Dawa Aya, Saki Me Tere Sadke Me De Ramadan Aya. Explanation of the poetry, O Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alayhi Wa Alihi Wasallam, upon hearing the news of the arrival of the Ramadan crescent, I have hurried to your court, the refuge of the helpless. My generous master, the noble month of the generous Lord has arrived. May I be sacrificed for your sublime grace. Bless me with your vision and grant me the nectar of your love. Mufti Faiz Ahmad Owaisi Rahmatullahi Alayhi states, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan composed these verses in the year he travelled to Medina with the heartfelt desire to spend the entire month of Ramadan in the presence of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, after which he performed Hajj and then returned. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. Number 2. Ramadan in Iraq. We have received reports of various changes in Iraq, the land of our spiritual guide, Shaykh Abdul Qadir al-Jilani rahmatullahi alayh. Upon the arrival of Ramadan al-Kareem, the Muslims greet each other with Ramadan Mubarak, and markets, homes and masajid are decorated with lights and banners bearing messages of joy. The number of worshippers in the masajid increases, and in certain locations, arrangements are made for the completion of the noble Qur'an. Individual Qur'an recitation increases, and many devotees attain the blessing of completing the entire noble Qur'an. Itikaf is observed more frequently in villages and in northern Iraq than in larger cities. On Laylatul Qadr, gatherings are held in masajid to spend the night in worship. During the odd-numbered nights, Qiyam al-Layl, a night vigil, voluntary prayers are performed in congregation. To instill virtuous habits in children, short courses and iftar arrangements are made in masajid to encourage their enthusiastic participation. They are also encouraged in their homes. In Iraq, common iftar dishes include yogurt-based drinks, dates, and lentil soup. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. Number 3. Ramadan in Indonesia. Indonesia is the world's most populous Muslim nation. Various communities and masajid welcome the arrival of the holy month by displaying banners and boards in streets, markets and offices with the slogan Marhaban Bika Ramadan. Welcome, O Ramadan. Muslims congratulate one another in Indonesian, which translates as congratulations to you on the worship of fasting. Prior to Ramadan, masajid are cleaned and decorated. Banners and Quranic verses are displayed, and homes feature simple yet beautiful decorations. While daily iftar is offered in every masjid, it is a custom to organize at least one large-scale iftar program during the month for which donations are collected. Many devotees send food from their homes to the masajid, as numerous people prefer to break their fast there. During the odd-numbered nights of the final 10 days of Ramadan, people gather in various masajid for 2 or 3 hours of Qiyam al-Layl, during which 4 or 8 units of prayer are offered. Many supermarkets offer Ramadan discounts and the government occasionally establishes special discounted markets where essential items are sold in packages. Number 4. Ramadan in Morocco. In Morocco, the majority of the population are followers of the true devotee of the Prophet. Imam Malik, rahmatullahi alayh, upon the arrival of Ramadan, it is customary for people to congratulate each other, and this tradition extends to Fridays too. Markets, streets, and homes are decorated to welcome this month. The passion of the Moroccan devotees of the Prophet for the recitation of the Holy Quran is remarkable. Even young children strive to recite it. Throughout the year, people gather in the masajid to recite the noble Quran daily after the Maghrib prayer. Regarding Laylatul Qadr, special arrangements are made in some masajid, whilst in other locations, nightly vigils are observed. To facilitate fasting workers and children who go to school, daily schedules are adjusted by 1 hour, allowing them to rest after suhoor before commencing their day. The spiritual influence of Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayh has made love for the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam a prominent characteristic amongst the Maliki community. Alhamdulillah, in Morocco, during the month of Rabiul Awwal, a procession is held to commemorate the birth of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Locals call it the procession of candles, because the vast number of candles lit during the event. This blessed tradition has continued for approximately 400 years. Number 5. Ramadan in Nigeria. Nigeria is the most populous country in Africa and is home to a very large Muslim population. The majority here also follow the Maliki school of thought. With the arrival of the month of mercy, several changes are observed. Despite fasting, people engage in strenuous manual labor throughout the day, whilst the number of worshippers is significant during ordinary times. It increases even further in Ramadan. Markets close after the Asr prayer, and wealthy individuals arrange iftar at various locations. After performing Isha and Taraweeh prayers, people rest and then rise at 1 a.m. for voluntary prayers. At this time, the atmosphere is so vibrant that it feels like daytime. During the final 10 days of Ramadan, the entire noble Quran is completed once, and in some masajid up to 3 times. For iftar, they consume a special hot beverage which they consume alongside dates. Alhamdulillah, Dawat-e-Islami has organized itikaf in Nigeria for the past 3 years, with some masajid hosting 60 to 70 participants. 6 and 7. Ramadan in Togo and Benin. The routines in Togo are somewhat similar to those in Nigeria. However, during the last nights of Ramadan, it is customary to worship from 1 a.m. until suhoor. In Benin, another African nation, a notable feature of the Ramadan routine is that the devotees of the Prophet gather daily from Zuhr to Asr for Quranic recitation, and from Asr to Maghrib for a tafsir, a Quranic exegesis circle, followed by a collective iftar. Number 8. Ramadan in Kuwait. According to reports, masajid in Kuwait are decorated for the arrival of Ramadan. The number of congregants increases, and there is a dedicated practice of sending iftar to neighbors and relatives. Furthermore, discounts are provided on essential items during Ramadan. Charity is collected and elaborate arrangements are made for the Eid prayer. Number 9. Ramadan in Scotland. Reports regarding Glasgow indicate that non-Muslims also show a degree of respect for the month of Ramadan al-Mubarak. Those who employ Muslims are aware that this is their month of fasting. In light of this, many offices provide designated prayer areas and suitable iftar arrangements for Muslim staff, allowing them to fulfill their religious obligations with ease. Prior to the arrival of the month, some Muslims exchange gifts of dates, hoping that the recipient breaks their fast with them. In masajid, madaris, and various Islamic centers, including those of Dawat-e-Islami, arrangements are made for the complete recitation of the Holy Quran and dedicated Quran lessons. In areas where masajid are not nearby, Muslims organize Taraweeh prayers and iftar within their homes or local community centers. Observing the mutual love and exemplary conduct of the Muslims, some non-Muslims have embraced Islam. Even in some stores owned by non-Muslims, formal Ramadan counters are established, where essential items for suhoor and iftar are stocked and offered at special discounted prices. Number 10. Ramadan in Nepal. In Nepal, there are no special official arrangements for the arrival of Ramadan. However, in almost every province, district, city and village, announcements about the holy month are made through masajid and madaris, an inclination towards virtue and an aversion to sin, which are the unique gifts of this month, result in a noticeable reduction in crime and vice when the month commences. Furthermore, a positive moral shift is observed amongst the people. It would not be incorrect to say that the level of mutual respect seen during Ramadan is rarely observed in other months. A significant number of worshippers attend the masajid. During Ramadan, many Muslims pay zakat and sadaqat al-fitr and distribute food rations to the poor. Arrangements for iftar gatherings are also made. Sallu ala al-habib. Sallallahu ala Muhammad. Number 11. Ramadan in the United States of America. According to information provided by a preacher of Dawat-e-Islami, the arrival of Ramadan in the USA is met with great joy across the Muslim community, much like it is around the world. People of almost every age express happiness and congratulate each other. Homes and masajid are beautifully adorned with Ramadan Mubarak banners and decorative lighting. Compared to other months, there is an increase in the number of people attending congregational prayers in masajid and Islamic centers. Most masajid and centers provide separate, secluded facilities for women to attend prayers and Quran classes. Many Islamic centers host daily iftar, and alhamdulillah, these locations remain vibrant from the Asr prayer until the conclusion of Taraweeh. Individuals also host iftar at their homes, inviting friends and relatives, whilst the Muslim community is diligent in greeting one another and organizing communal suhoor and iftar. Non-Muslims also extend their congratulations to the Muslim community. The scenes during Laylatul Qadr and the completion of the Quran are profoundly spiritual and deeply moving. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad.